开始你会怎么理解。Player, take off Gregorian, Western calendar. Today is the first day of the new year. Is that correct?
No.
I'm not dreaming still. And it really makes any difference. It's kind of arbitrary, really. But the workings of our modern day society has taken us.Something to note, of course most people are still recovering from last night and whatever they were doing this morning, last night, and they never really recover. This is the problem. They remain forevermore in this material consciousness, intoxicated by efforts to enjoy this world. This year is 2012. Don't forget that when you write your letters of sign, it's now 2012. Very important to note. And on these days, it's traditional, for at least it used to be. I don't know if it still is, but it used to be quite traditional to me.New Year's resolutions, to make our New Year's resolutions. What did Prabhupada say? Resolutions. What's that? No solutions. Dissolution. Something like that. So many resolutions, but nothing really changes.Beneficial happens. We have to try to make a beneficial resolution. We all know what that is. We have to look at ourselves in our hearts. See, in relationship, of course, with Guru Shastra and Sadhu, what we can honestly do to improve the palm, whatever it is, in this.Not just because it happens to be the Western first day of the year, but it's a good opportunity nonetheless. These days offer us time for reflection and for many days throughout our year, be they spiritually based or, say, based upon the material world that we're in.Given us an opportunity that the Lord is teaching us from both sides, from the material angle and from the spiritual angle, to take this human life seriously, not just to pass it away like most people do, just passing the time of day away until they die, searching out ways and means to.Gratify the senses. Most people, that's their kind of goal of life, I guess you could say. Try to enjoy life as much as possible within the scope of the society structure. But when you look at it kind of from a neutral point of view, it's pretty much a waste of time.Doesn't really seem to lead anywhere or achieve anything other than just survival or existence. But we understand there's a little bit more to life than meets the eye. So let's turn over a new leaf, a new year, an opportunity, whatever our services may be or could be, to try to be a little bit more useful.And make more use of this human life, make it more useful, so with use, rather than just another year gone by, another year lost, another moment lost. We should be making this kind of thought every moment, actually. At least this is opportunities to remind us of that, that we are dying.That's not the soul, but the human facility that the soul has, and it's so valuable, we can't afford to lose it. We've lost enough already. Can't keep losing it. Otherwise we may lose it altogether. So we should try to really take advantage of this opportunity. And whatever, maybe today we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, maybe study Srimad Bhagavatam more. Whatever you have to see in your own heart. And become a little bit more attached to Krishna. A little bit more connected to Krishna. Even if we're not consciously attached to Krishna, we can be attached to this Krishna's mercy, which appears in many forms, which has personal forms, appearing to us as a personal form necessarily, but in the form of book Bhagavat, in the form of Krishna, in this form of Krishna, in the form of name, the form of prasadam. We can make a resolution to eat more prasadam this year, for instance. That's what we're doing. But at least we can make a resolution only to honor prasadam, not to eat or eat things which are not offered to Krishna. Not to eat things which are offered to Krishna either, exactly, but to try to cultivate the root of honoring that which is offered to Krishna. Honoring the association of Vaishnavism, not taking it for granted. Try to reduce on our offenses altogether, if possible. Very nice. And many things. More voluntary service. Serving the Vaishnavas. Distributing this message to others more. We can do producing books. We can endeavor at least to both become more instrumental, pure service, and at the same time how we can distribute more books. At least we can try to work it out, think about it. More kirtan. Please the deities more. Cooperate more together, put aside our false egos, so called important sensual desires and needs. To a certain extent, they have to be fulfilled, but never completely fulfilled. The more we connect with Krishna, the more we connect with Krishna. They can never be fulfilled by material endeavor, no matter how much we try. There's always more. The more you try to satisfy them, the more there are to satisfy. They never stop. But by taking shelter of Krishna, in the name, then our real desires are fulfilled. So let's read Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Decided by the learned.
Brahman.
Brahman.
Or Brahma Vyas. Three kinds of misery.
Chikitsita.
Remedial measures.
Yat.
What?
Ishvare.
Supreme controller.
Bhagavati.
Unto the personality of Godhead.
Karma.
Once prescribed activities.
Ramani.
Unto the great.
Bhavitam.
Dedicated. Translation for a book by His Divine Grace. Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Now, we're only continuing his description to Sri Vyasadeva. Very well, in every respect of it, even in terms of what we've been discussing, as much as Vyasadeva was, despite all of his contributions in presenting all the Vedic literatures and so on, compiling the Vedic literatures, and even the Puranas, which include the Bhagavatam, but not the complete Bhagavatam that we're hearing of them. This is also unlimited, complete, it's an expansion of the original Bhagavatam in the Purana. And he was not satisfied with the Mahabharata and so many scriptures. It was not his compilation, but the Mahabharata was. So many things were down to scripture. So many most valuable services. But he was still not satisfied, despite that. So now everyone is pointing out his shortcomings and causes for his despondency. And like that, we have to see what is the cause. And the cause is always within. It's not that somebody else is ever the cause, so to speak. It's our own perception or our own approach to things. Everything is there. Krishna's mercy is there. There's no shortage of opportunity. It's just whether we're taking, and whether we're taking it in a favorable way, making the right steps towards the ultimate goal. But Vyasadeva has given so many opportunities of various kinds for entering entities to both materially and even to the point of liberation, even up to the point, you could say, of a certain aspect of God consciousness, that's for sure. Guidelines and instructions, but he had not pinpointed the highest perfection of existence, and he really emphasized sufficiently the goal of life. People can easily become, as they do, captivated by the flowery language of the Vedas, and thus they become entangled within the material framework, even if it be in the mode of goodness, elevation to the heavenly planets. Most of the, even in the religiosity, that's generally speaking the ultimate goal for many people. Freedom from karma, attainment of heavenly existence. And for those of the more spiritual inclined, of course, we hear the other day, they may desire liberation from this temporal world. But that itself is also not the ultimate goal. It will not completely satisfy the self. What completely satisfies the self, and that will be, that was explained already, Savaikam Sankarodham, Avatobhaktir Pachir, Ahitikiya Pachir Dharanyakma superseded. Sukha Goswami already explained that in his summary, approaching the questions of the sages, that this is the highest, the topmost religious principle, this double devotional service of the personality of Godhead. But such service is not just a sentiment or some ritual, but it has to be avaitikiya patiyata. It has to be unmotivated. Unmotivated means there's no material motivation or selfish motivation. There's no desire for, I want to be liberated. I want this. I want that. And there's no interruption. It's not like, okay, now it's Sunday today, now it's time to pray. And it is Sunday today. now it's the first of the year, I vow that I will not drink 20 litres of liquor every day. I do what we normally do, or 50 cigarettes a day or something, whatever we normally do. And for one day we keep it. The next day, well, I'll do it on Sunday, every Sunday. No, it's constant. Today I'm going to increase my japa and be more attentive. And then tomorrow we just go to pieces. Because it's nice to think like that, but we should also be determined, or a little bit realistic, both intelligence. One time, he was telling us a few weeks ago on one of his last conversations with Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada was last few weeks before he wound up his manifest pastime, so to speak, in this world. And it was in the night, and he asked his servant to call Giriraj, who was then Brahmachari. And Giriraj came, and Prabhupada said to Giriraj, how will this movement carry on in my absence? And Giriraj Maharaj replied, I think Prabhupada, elder or disciples are sincere and follow your instructions. It will be able to carry on. Prabhupada said, that's all right. That's not enough. There has to be intelligence and organization. So that has to be there too. And of course, I think the leaders of the movement are quite aware of that. That is required. You have to be a little intelligent. Intelligence is a big time. Principle to understand what is applicable according to the situation one's in, and according to the situation one's not in, or the situation someone else is in. That intelligence is required. So we'll read this verse now. Here Narada Muni is giving intelligence. He's not just pinpointing the ultimate goal, but he's also giving the step or the process to reach it, how to obtain. It's only this ultimate, when we reach the ultimate goal, that we complete satisfaction, awake to give, the Italian gap and supersede. For the soul will be completely satisfied, not by material efforts, not even by liberation, not by mixed devotional service. O Brahmin Vyasadeva, it is decided by the learned that the best remedial measure for removing all troubles and misery is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Lord, the Personality of God in Sri Krishna. This is a wonderful verse. And he's really come to the point here for the goal and the means also. This verse. Purport. Sri Narada Muni personally experienced that the most feasible and practical way to open the path of salvation or get relief from all miseries of life is to hear submissively the transcendental activities of the Lord from the right and bona fide sources. And this point comes up again and again for Srimad Bhagavatam. Tens Kamba Nivritashi Gyamana Bhavoshi Chodama Novanana Udama Shlokanana. So many verses of them. And by hearing from those who are actually qualified, those who are not materially motivated, spiritually motivated is different. They're not materially motivated, Nivritashi. I hear from them, then Bhavoshati, this hearing acts just like medicine, Bhavoshati, and cures the disease, body identification, the result of which is Bhavarog, repeated birth and death in this material world. This is the result, proper submissive hearing. And the right sources. But we see in the third chapter that Sukhaswami is emphasizing to the sages in Dhanushrana. Now hear from me with rapt attention. I will explain to you as I have heard and understood. Now you hear with rapt attention. Because hearing with rapt attention, not just being there is good also, but if we really want to experience Krishna's presence and removal of the miseries of material existence, then we should hear with rapt attention as much as we can. That means with focused attention, complete attention, as much as we can. To hear submissively the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the actual medicine, the actual process to cure our disease. We may have so many, you can say, stopgap measures, different types of painkillers almost, to do and deal with on the material sense of the term as we move along, but they're not the real solutions because they do not remove the cause of our distress. They may, you know, bend, let's say, adjust the effect, but they do not get to the root cause of our being in this material world, or being in a state of despondency, or whatever it may be, whatever condition we're in, save and accept the dawning of our love of Krishna. We're in darkness. So to enlighten us, to awaken us something. This is the only remedial measure. The entire material existence is full of misery. Foolish people have manufactured out of their tiny brains many remedial measures for removing the threefold miseries pertaining to the body and mind, pertaining to the natural disturbances and in relation with other living beings. The whole world is struggling very hard to exist out of these miseries, but men do not know that without the sanction of the Lord, no plan, no remedial measure can actually bring about the desired peace and tranquility. They don't realize, I think, that by their own efforts they're conquering over nature or something like that. They realize that anything that actually appears to be some, you know, solution to the problems. Of course, we know from Palamaraj, 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he describes how their so called solutions create more problems than the problems they're supposed to solve. Typical kind of experience which one has in this material world. They make dams in order to, you know, regulate the water, and then, of course, it gets out of control, and then they have dreadful floods. And they strip all the trees down for various reasons, and then they realize they made a big mistake. But, you know, it just goes on ad infinitum like this. But they don't listen. There's no humility, there's no respect, there's no understanding of the will of God. Everything is, world is here for our sense enjoyment. We can do any damn thing we like with it. And this body is mine. I can do any damn thing I like with it, practically speaking. It goes on and on like this. And they don't realize what the purpose of it in the planet. And the Lord, okay, like ignorant, spoiled children, the Lord gives some kind of lease, little rope, but only so far, and then they get a good smack. Material world. And then some people say that this year we're going to get a good smack. 2012. You'll see that nothing will happen. Life will go on without even a blink of an eyelid. It will be up there, it's all over, tomorrow's the deadline. And, you know, I wonder what happened. It happens almost every couple of years with some big propaganda. This is all over, it's all March, well now it's 2012, no, May last year, there was some big Christian group in America, absolutely adamant, and they were publicizing all over the place. I saw all over in Philippines and Malaysia, big placards all over the place. The Day of Judgment today going around. I didn't know what they were talking about. I found out afterwards it was supposed to be the end of the world. It didn't happen. They felt that their calculations were slightly out in October this year. Nothing happened in October either. So I don't know what happened to them. Maybe they all jumped into the ocean or something. I don't know what they did. But billions and billions of dollars spent on it. Nothing happened whatsoever. Practically speaking, nothing. That's all. It is material energy. It works in different ways, allowing people to think in this way, and so on and so forth. Kali Yuga is going to last a few more years. Yet it's not going to finish in December 2012. Don't worry. Maybe you think it'd be good if it did, but it's not going to. The remedial measure to cure a patient by remedial treatment is useless if it is not sanctioned by the Lord. The same again describes how that, you know, a boat cannot necessarily save a person in the ocean, or the best medicine cannot save a patient, or the parents cannot necessarily protect a child. It really, we think, you know, we've done it, this, that, the other. We're very proud. But actually, it's the Lord's cooking, His sanction, that this may happen or may not happen. It's not that we blame them, yes or right, it's just reciprocating with the individual's karma and the individual's desires and so on. It's simply reciprocating. But it's only by His grace. That's what one poem by Srila Prabhupada, Martinet Bhagavatam, is very fascinating, where Prabhupada prays, by your will, the living entities have come into this world, and by your will, they can be delivered. If we don't understand the depth of that statement, then one may think that really we have nothing to do with it. It's entirely at the whim of the Lord. If He wants, you're here. If He wants, you're not. But it's not. The point is that the Lord is reciprocating. But we cannot achieve material or spiritual goals without His will. He's reciprocating. We can't go back to God without His mercy. His will is the deciding factor. But He reciprocates. Even materials, as God is explaining here. The living in this main thing, claim proprietorship, and a claim for various so-called discoveries or activities and so on. But actually it's only by the power of the Lord. It's not by our power. Any power we've got to do anything is His power. We're empowered. Every living entity is empowered. We have no ability to do anything without His grace. We may desire it. We may have our consciousness, also by His grace, of course. But we have no ability to fulfill anything. He provides everything. As a parent provides everything. For the child, I think they're doing it, this is mine, blah, blah, blah. But it's all provided by the parents. In fact, it's all provided by the Supreme Person. He's the proprietor of everything. To cross the river or the ocean by a suitable boat is no remedial measure. It is not sanctioned by the Lord. We should know for certain that the Lord is the ultimate sanctioning officer. We must therefore dedicate our attempts to the mercy of the Lord for ultimate success, or to get rid of the obstacles on the path of success. Even in our efforts to become free of anartas, or to control our mind during japa, sometimes a little boxing ring or something, you know, constantly being knocked down and almost out count 10, 9, 8, almost, you know, like in a boxing ring from beginning to end. But it's okay, then maybe that's there to a certain extent, but that's not really what it's all about. It's really remembering to take shelter of Krishna, understanding Daivikeshukanamayamamayatavatyaya. We cannot conquer over this mind, these material senses, on our own effort. We make our effort, but we really depend on Krishna. If you take shelter of Krishna, and remove all these anartas in the moment. You're just seeing her, Sattva Mali Yasoda, trying to bind up Krishna. Krishna's just seeing her loving endeavor. The bound or unbound as he wishes. But he reciprocates when it's going to our sincere endeavor, loving endeavor. He may reciprocate. Well, the city does reciprocate. It may not appear the way we think it will be. It's only to increase our actual dependence and our actual love for him, our devotion. But sometimes it appears that we're not getting the result of what we're trying to do. It's to give us an opportunity to become a Vaidiki of the Kirtan, to really become dependent on Him. unmotivated and complete in our service to Him. That, because that will satisfy the soul. We're part and parcel of Krishna. We cannot be satisfied if we're trying to act separately from our existence. The whole idea is to bring us to that, not just philosophical terms or mechanical term, but in reality. Understand that we actually live for Krishna's pleasure. As the limbs of the body exist for the benefit of the whole body, that is what we exist for. And everything is to try to bring us to that point of realization and application. So now we're, as far as we can see here, we're going to see something about the application. The Lord is all pervading, all powerful, omniscient, and omnipresent. He is the ultimate sanctioning agent of all good or bad effects. We should therefore learn to dedicate our activities unto the mercy of the Lord and accept Him either as a personal Brahman, localized Paramatma, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It does not matter what one is. It doesn't be very broad in terms of all these three are at least spiritual understandings. One must dedicate everything in the service of the Lord. Even to attain Brahman or to attain Paramatma, everything has to be coated or accompanied with bhakti of some kind. It may not be the ultimate goal of the practitioner, but without the presence of some form of bhakti, even that attainment of Brahman is really not possible, because that's only by the mercy of Krishna, it's only by the grace of Krishna, so it really has to have some kind of connection with Krishna there in order to obtain even that object. One must dedicate everything in the service of the Lord. If one's a learned scholar, a scientist, a philosopher, a poet, etc., then he should employ his learning to establish the supremacy of the Lord. Try to study the energy of the Lord in every sphere of life. Do not decry Him and try to become like Him or take His position simply by fragmental accumulation of knowledge. As referring to a learned person in society, they should use their God-given capacities to try to see Him in everything, understand His presence behind everything. He's a supreme scientist. If one is an administrator, a statesman, a warrior, a politician, etc., then we should try to establish the Lord's supremacy in statesmanship. Not that we become atheistic and just think that we can challenge God's authority. It never works. It's never worked and never will work. But then, you know, it's graced by the Lord to be an administrator. Then we should utilize that for the service of the Lord, facilitating His purposes, glorifying Him. Finally, the cause of the Lord, as Sri Arjuna did. In the beginning, Sri Arjuna, the great fighter, declined to fight. But when he was convinced by the Lord that the fighting was necessary, Sri Arjuna changed his decision and fought for his cause. And Krishna never told Arjuna, give up this fighting, it's all Maya. No, Maya is when we forget the purpose, we forget the goal behind it. That's Maya. It's not what we're doing, it's the consciousness. When we forget that everything is connected to Krishna, everything is related to Krishna, not just some sentimental memory, but understanding how it's connected to Krishna and understanding how to use it in that relationship to Krishna. Not just some sentiment, everything is connected to Krishna, whatever I do is okay, not like that. Understand also how it should be utilized in relationship with Krishna. And that's what Arjuna did. He heard the knowledge of Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, and he was prepared to fight according to your direction. Now all my doubts are removed by your mercy. Now I'm prepared to fight. I'm prepared. Krishna gave him that choice. Now you choose. What do you want to do? What do you want to do now, Arjuna? I've told you everything I need to say. Now what are you going to do? Some people misinterpret this and they think, you know, it means that Krishna is ever saying you can do anything, basically speaking. He's testing Arjuna. Arjuna said, yes, now I'm ready to act according to your direction, to fulfill your desires. You want me to fight? satisfied if he's rightly situated like that. His situation is correct. And then satisfaction is there, complete satisfaction. Otherwise we're lost. We're battling all the time with that birth, death, disease, and all that. We're battling with other living entities. We're battling against our karma. We're battling with our minds. We're battling with everything, practically speaking. And we think we're independent. We think that we're, you know, we're free or something. Or, you know, I think that this is self-expression. This is the real business. And it's not at all. It doesn't bring any satisfaction to anyone in the long run, and even in the short run. It's illusionary type of pleasure. The real pleasure is when we actually understand and accept it. And it is a surrender. It's so we don't want the surrender, that's why we're here. Don't expect to find too many healthy people in the hospital, so to speak. The hospitals are there. This human life particularly is meant for recovery. And to recover. But people unfortunately remain intoxicated by taking this, doing the same things which have caused them to be suffering again and again and again without any direction. And they don't want to change. They want to be free of the suffering, but they don't want to do that which is required to get free. And the leaders don't want them to do it either, because they have the idea that if they keep people like this, they don't get more for themselves, they become more powerful and more respected and more rich or whatever it is. So this is the material challenge. Declaration of war against Maya is not some kind of quite the same as Arjuna with, you know, bows and arrows and brahmastras and so on. It starts within our own hearts. It's how we see the world, with ourselves in the center or Krishna in the center. We see the world as a field of my enjoyment or of Krishna's pleasure. You see, my pleasure is Maya. And this is mine, that's Krishna's. That's also my beginning, a little bit of introduction to Krishna consciousness, but it's not really complete by any means. You see, everything in relationship with Krishna, everything that happens in our life in relationship with Krishna, everything that's going on around us, ultimately everything is resting on Krishna. It's prose is strong on threat. Everything is resting on Krishna. The material energies, the modes of nature, karma, everything. Everything is resting on Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna ultimately. He gives a free will, and we misuse the free will. Provides the facility for the misuse of our free will, provides the facility to get back out of that again. Everything is given by Krishna. He himself comes here and there, now and again. He's present always in this age of Kali, as Nam Prabhu and Bhagavad, Shrimad Bhagavatam, and the other ways. Anyone who wants to reconnect, he's there. No one's prohibited, no one's out of the loop, so to speak. That's our free will, our choice. Similarly, if one is a businessman, an industrialist, an agriculturist, etc., then one should spend his hard-earned money for the cause of the Lord. We've got it by the grace of the Lord, we should use it for Him. Think always that the money which is accumulated is the wealth of the Lord, it's not ours. We were reading the other day a very interesting pastime of Vamadeva, and how he took everything from Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was thinking, was when Bali Maharaj's wife in Diyali, she came and butted in, actually. Sometimes the wife butts in. She butted in. Lord Brahma was just about to speak, and she came in and butted in. Didn't give him a chance to speak. She started speaking before him. He just started introducing, and she cut in. And so Brahma stayed with the wife. Can't argue with the wife. So she came in and she started chastising her husband. Not because he gave everything away, but because he was still a damn fool. She called him a damn fool. You're a fool. Not because you gave it away, but because you think you gave it away. You're still an idiot. You're still thinking, you know, now I fulfill my promise. I gave it, I fulfilled my promise, I gave everything to the Lord. So don't you realize you had nothing in the beginning to give? When will you realize that it was His in the first place, you fool? She called him an agnostic fool. Father says she was far more advanced than her husband. So just even that idea that I'm doing something for Krishna is ignorance. It's not pure bhakti. It's karma yoga. But it's not bhakti, not pure bhakti. And when we realize that we haven't got anything, we exist already, we're meant to bring pleasure to Krishna. We don't know that we're bringing pleasure to Krishna in a sense like that, but that's our actual position. We have no separate existence, really, other than that. It's an illusion. The thing that we do, it's called Maya. Our very existence. Everything is really existing for the pleasure of Krishna, so we have to come. What does He want? We can ask the question at this point in time. It's a spontaneous thing for those who are connected, you have to ask. It's spontaneous for their stage, we may have to ask. How can we become reconnected with Krishna? How can we recover from our illusions? This is a part of it. We learn to offer the things we think are ours. If Kurushi Vashnachiya Jabusita Dasya Dasya Kuntiya Kurushi Madharma is a part, it's the beginning. It's the beginning of bhakti, really. To learn how to offer the fruits of our work or the work itself in relationship with Krishna. Realize that along with the fruits and the work and everything is nothing other than Krishna's mercy anyway. Not ours, like offering a lamp to the sun or something. It's none other than the energy of the sun in the first place, but it's the mood, developing this mood of recognition, this mood of respect in the beginning, recognition, so on and so forth, to kind of realization, 3 R's. Instead of what I have, 3 R's materially, what's it? Arithmetic, reading, and writing. So we have the 3 R's, respect, recognition, and realization. But when he was convinced, think always that the money which is accumulated is the wealth of the Lord. Wealth is considered to be the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and the Lord is Narayan, the husband of Lakshmi. Try to engage Lakshmi in the service of Lord Narayan and be happy. Even in this world, you can be happier than that. Can you lose it anyway? You might as well use it in the best way. You're going to lose it anyway. You're going to undergo sufferings anyway in this world, no matter what you do, so you may as well do it for Krishna. Suffer for Krishna, if that's the way you want to look at it. You're going to suffer anyway. That's the way to realize the Lord in every sphere of life. The best thing, after all, to get relief from all material activities, engage oneself completely in hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. But in case of the absence of such an opportunity, one should try to engage in the service of the Lord. Everything for which one has specific attraction, and that is the way of peace and prosperity. One should try to engage in the service of the Lord everything for which one has specific attraction. And that is the way of peace and prosperity. The word sankshuchita in this stanza is also significant. One should not think for a moment that the realization of Narada was childish imagination only. It is not like that. It is so realized by the expert and erudite scholars, and that is the real import of the word Sankshuchita. That's the end of the purport. Then this theme goes on, of course. If you go to even in chapter 7, we'll see very significant verses spoken there. One or two of them. Here's two. This is in the seventh chapter. Sukha Goswami again is speaking here. The material miseries of the living entity, which is famous, there's an article from such a bhakti yoga bhakti. The material miseries of the living entities, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But a mass of people do not know this. And therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the Supreme Lord. That's the sixth verse of the seventh chapter. And the next verse he says, simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, the feeling of loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fearfulness. This emphasis is there on service. That we may not have that taste immediately. So the taste is developed by the mercy of the devotees. The mercy of the devotees is obtained by serving them, by rendering service, menial service. One gets the mercy of the devotee, the mercy of Krishna. And the first symptom of developing that, or receiving, not the first necessary, but the primary first development described, is that one develops an attraction. In their as Narada Muni did, by serving the devotee, develop an attraction to hear what they were talking about, the subject matter. And that's when it really begins. Become attracted to chanting, hearing, attracted to hearing Bhagavatam. Could maybe attracted to Bhagavad describes in Bhagavad Gita and Purport, which Tama could have found on just strong. First attraction may not be so much for that hearing and chanting, but for the service itself. And that's really good. That's where it really starts, when we start to get attracted to rendering some kind of activity or service to Krishna through the spiritual master, through the movement, through the Vaishnavas. And that's really, that's a wonderful, wonderful step. We're fortunate to get that mercy of Krishna. We have to have some attraction. And then in due course of time, the mercy of the devotees, the mercy of the Lord, the heart becomes cleansed by that service to the devotees. And actually, the heart becomes cleansed. One's natural attraction to hear and chant about Krishna was naturally born under them. It's quite natural. If the anarthas are removed by the grace of the Lord, then a natural attraction will develop. We make an effort to depend on Krishna's mercy, Tasma, making a that we do our words at the same time, we're conscious of Krishna, we remember Krishna, then we become conscious. The easy way to do that is just keep chanting while you do the service. The Prophet emphasized many times, whatever you're doing, you just keep chanting Hare Krishna. This will help us to become first remembering Krishna and remember that we're not the doer, we're not the proprietor, we're not the enjoyer. Everything belongs to Krishna, everything's to Him. We have to remind ourselves of these things. We go through our day sometimes completely oblivious to Krishna's existence practically. Doing this, and that's all good, that's great too, but it's not, you know, we can go further, we can become more, a little bit more conscious. Not that we stop doing what we're doing to try to become conscious of Krishna. We have to learn the science of bhakti and be conscious of Krishna in what we're doing. We have to hear this regularly, so remind ourselves, try to apply it, learn how to apply it in our lives. So when we're doing our work, whatever it may be in the office, whatever, we can slowly, if not all at once, and become more conscious of Krishna. Remember that the ability to do this work is Krishna. The work itself is also given to Krishna. The means, everything, the results, everything are Krishna in one sense. Krishna's in everything. Krishna's in that person across the table there who doesn't like you also. Krishna's everywhere. Krishna's in that, you know, Italian, whatever it is, pizza shop. He's everywhere. It doesn't mean we should go in there and try to appreciate him in everything and enjoy the, you know, whatever it is, the beer or the, you know, the food that they're serving. We should understand that ultimately the idea of it. In terms of where we see it, but he's behind everything. You may misuse that. You should have to see that. There's a reason for everything. The reason ultimately is Krishna. It's why Bhagavad Gita deals so much with seeing the material world as, you know, in one sense, an expansion of him. The trees on the planet are like his hairs, the mountains like the stacks of his bones, and this and that. Seeing that universal perception, it's not very sweet, loving perception, but it's the beginning stage of seeing Krishna present everywhere, even that person who's, you know, chastising us or giving us a hard time. But somehow or another, this is Krishna's allowing this person to do that, there must be a good reason for it. That's something which I can benefit from. Not that we just have to benefit personally, but to help us to become more Krishna conscious. Try to see everything as being with the hand of the Lord working behind. Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Krishna Prabhupada Ki Jai. Questions or comments? Thank you for patiently sitting here. Now, I don't know about you, New Year's Eve, you're up early. Not early. And to bed late, early, and which we look at. But, anyway, we won't get into that. Most of you probably haven't had much sleep. Don't make a vow to sleep more this year. You may have to catch up on an hour or two today or something. But, try to increase one's service. Mainly attitude also. More favorable attitude. Just see how we can bring more pleasure to devotees. We may not know about Krishna, but at least to devotees who are representing Krishna. And to others by preaching Krishna consciousness to our best capacity. What we can do to make 2012. Yes, the world may come to an end in 2012 if everybody takes Krishna consciousness to heart. That's the real ending. Not this physical change of the gods. But when we actually give up our efforts to try to enjoy this world, see Krishna's enjoy. Any questions? Yes? Oh, I made a bow for you. Happy New Year,
Prabhu.
Thank you.
But the divided, he sees Krishna everywhere, everything. But the materials, he doesn't see Krishna anywhere. So, Krishna is not manifest anywhere to the materialist. So we can ask, well, why does Krishna hide himself in my life? Why is this hiding from you? Everywhere in the material world we look materialistically, we cannot see Krishna anywhere. So why is that Krishna hide himself?
Why did he hide himself? Well, this is everyone wants to make it easy, I suppose. You know, good things aren't easy to achieve anyway. Material sense, it's not easy. It's bhakti, pure bhakti is very precious. You can read it in Nectar of Devotion, it's not easily attained. Very dangerous. Krishna becomes bound. He becomes completely controlled by pure bhakti, by his pure voice. It's not a cheap thing. And another reason is he's giving us the opportunity. Let's look at it from our point of view as well, I suppose. He's giving us an opportunity to render this service on behalf of our spiritual masters to try to make this possible. He's drawing out the real nature of the soul because, you know, living in the attitude, the whole idea is to change our attitude, not just to show here's Krishna, here's this, here's that. Materially things are beyond our capacity to comprehend even, not to speak of Krishna. He's drawing out that those who come and I come a little bit along the path, he's drawing out within us this, supposed to be this mood. It may not be compassion, die at that stage, desire or this feeling of assisting those who have this compassion to the covered energy of this world to uncover it, to bring it, to open it up. Living in it is chosen because then they perceive Krishna. I mean, just put yourself in a situation. If there's somebody you really don't like, and wherever you go, there they are. You know, we in the office, oh God, they're there. You go to the person, oh my God, they're sat next to me. In the tram, oh no, there they are again. Wherever you go, you know, their face is right in your face. You know, it would be hell. Hellish. You just go crazy. So, in that sense, although we're looking at the time span, which is relative from our perspective, and it seems like forever, but it's really insignificant in terms of eternity. But, you know, if that person you're trying to get away from keeps sticking his nose in your nose with just what you don't want, get out of my life, please. Leave me alone. All right. People don't want. It's not just because, you know, Krishna's making it difficult. He's making it easy if we really want. Isn't the fact of the matter is for some time the soul wants to, you know, be asleep. It's like we're asleep, someone can wake up. Get out of here, leave me alone, I'm tired. And come here again, I'll bash you. It happens to me one time. So, in other words, he jumped up and punched me in the chest. Full on. It took me about months to recover. And we don't want to wake up. We're attached. So, the devotees have this thankless opportunity. It's a wonderful opportunity to somehow or another wake themselves up first, of course. And try to wake others up too. Krishna's not going to force the people in the Bhagavad Gita 3rd chapter to conceal all their activity and fear. We should not disturb them. Well, one should act in such a way as to engage them unknowingly, practically, in acts of devotion. So actually, they may wake up. The devotee brother says, more merciful than Krishna. Krishna's not going to force them. He's not going to force himself upon people who don't want him to. Basically, where, you know, it's like in a prison or something. Prisoners are not very keen on, you know, let's say the lifestyle of, what do you call it, an ordinary citizen. They don't like the law. They don't like the law. They don't like the police. Because the police are sometimes are criminals also, but in general, they don't like the police. They don't like it. They don't like the law. They don't like the law. The makers behind them, they want to get away from it. They avoid it. So in general, the jivas in this world are desiring to be separate from Krishna for some time. So the Lord fulfills it. He provides everything for them, but he doesn't show it that he's the provider. Even children sometimes who are growing up, I mean, if you take the credit for everything the child does, the child isn't going to develop much confidence. You know, the child, Daddy, I did it. You didn't do it. I arranged everything. You did nothing. You're so puffed up. You know, it wouldn't be a very good way. Everybody would go, yeah, well done, son, well done. That's lovely. You know, you've held his hand the whole time that he's drawn a picture or something. Daddy, look what I've drawn. Oh, that's beautiful, son. Maybe you have some confidence. You know. So in the beginning, it's inevitable like that. And the Lord isn't going to force us, even though he's doing everything. We want the credit, up to a point, anyway. Bring up to a point. You have to grow up to a certain point in time. Human life is meant to be the opportunity to grow up. That's why he's given us so many scriptures. That's why in human life is religiosity, to help us to see him in this country. He hasn't just made it blind. It's for humans. He's given us that opportunity. We have to take it. If we don't take it, what can he do? That's how we will. His free will has given us the opportunity. Our free will is we don't want it. The devotee's free will is that even though they don't want it, the devotee wants to give it to them. But free will is acting on many things. It's a kind of a transcendental thing in a sense. Almost like not simply pastime. It's just the way of reciprocation. The Lord is reciprocating the he also reciprocates to constantly give the chance, constantly means regularly give them the chance to see it otherwise. Two is not enough forces. If you don't want to see things according to the law, then you take the consequences. It's not the law's fault. And see it your way, okay. Learn the hard way. The Buddha is supposed to be the agents of the Lord to try to help others to open their eyes and see it in relationship with Krishna. The more we do that, I guess, the more likely it is that the effect will be there. But pure bhakti is not something cheap, you know. Because it's love. If you can't force love, you can't force someone to love you. And if you come here, then I'll love you. It's not quite as easy as that. Even in our daily experiences, something you can mechanically arrange. It's got to come from us. So, that's what's there in human life to try to help to develop it, not to work towards it. It really depends on us. Well, I'm sorry to say that we have to go. I think we have a plane to catch, a lot to do. The plane may not wait for us. I don't think some dinner is Qantas, so it may do. Maybe it won't even fly, I don't know. The Qantas flying now, or what? Are they flying? They started again? They'll be sober enough to fly. They test the pilots before they start.
Morning, this is your pilot.
Happy New Year, everybody. Free drinks today. I wish they gave free flights. They gave free tram lines last night, but no free flights. Year in Krishna consciousness, and hope everything gets better and better here in this beautiful temple in the city of Melbourne. Plenty to do. It's a wonderful city for preaching. It's a wonderful city. Make it more wonderful, make it more Krishna conscious, and have a good year in chanting Krishna and so on. Hare Krishna, Shri Prabhupada, Jesus.